Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the August 19th, 2024 meeting of the Madison Landmarks Commission. I'm going to hand it over to Lauren to talk us through some processes and procedures for tonight's meeting. Lauren.
Landmarks Commission members, please use video if you're able so we can ensure we have quorum. If you wish to speak, remember to use the raise hand feature. Also, use the raise hand feature to make a motion or second. Voting will be considered unanimous. However, if you object to a unanimous vote, please use the raise hand feature when the chair asks for objections and a roll call vote will be taken. Members of the public who have registered to speak, the name you entered in Zoom must match the name you entered in registration. You will remain muted until called upon. You will have 3 minutes to speak, and staff will tell you when your time is up. Please do not use your video. If you turn on your video, it will be shut off. Chair, the floor is yours.
You, Lauren. First up is I'm going to call for the approval of the August 5th, 2024 meeting minutes. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Thank you, Rich. Is there a second? Thank you, Molly. I'm going to assume unanimous consent and move on to agenda item number one, public comment. This is the portion of our agenda in which those who wish to make a comment on something that is not on our agenda may speak. We have no one registered for that agenda item, so I am going to move on to disclosures and recusals. Members of the body should make any required disclosures or recusals under the city's ethics code. Does anyone have anything to disclose or recuse themselves from? Seeing none, I'll move on to agenda item number two. I guess Legistar file 62943, a guest speaker, Jennifer Gursky of the Madison Trust for Historic Preservation. Heather, am I handing it over to you or am I handing it directly over to her?
I would say let's hand it directly over to Jennifer.
Excellent. Jennifer, go ahead.
Great. Hopefully everyone can hear me okay. All right. Great. Thank you so much. Thanks to the commission for giving me a few minutes to talk about this grant. Lauren, can I, or Katie, can I share my PowerPoint presentation?
Yes, you should be able to.
Okay. Let me just kick that up quick. Okay, so hopefully everyone can see that. Thank you so much for having me again. My name is Jennifer Gursky. I'm the program director for the Madison Trust for Historic Preservation. For those unfamiliar with the Madison Trust, it's a special year for us. We are celebrating our 50th anniversary. We are a small nonprofit membership organization with over 500 members that's dedicated to preserving the best of Madison's past, but also working with others to help shape its future. I will have a slide at the end that will have contact information and also our website if you want to know more about our organization. We are very excited about this new grant. I first want to thank Erica Gehrig, whose generous contribution has made this preservation grant possible. She's a former Madison Trust board member and a longtime member of our organization. She's also, as many of you may know, she's also a landmarks commissioner that she was on, I think, over a decade, a commissioner for landmarks. So we thank her so much for this generous donation. And see. Okay. The funding initiatives are fairly simple. So really for bricks and mortar projects, it would focus on Madison landmark buildings, including buildings within Madison local historic districts. And then just a couple slides ahead, I'll actually talk a little bit about eligibility. And then preparation of Madison landmark nominations. And we did keep it generalized. So individuals, businesses, nonprofits are all encouraged to apply for the grant. The funds total $10,000. That's either two $5,000 grants or one $10,000 grant. And we have a selection committee that is a subcommittee that will review all of the applications, and then select the recipients. I would note too that anyone associated with the Madison Trust, so trustees or myself, are not eligible for the grant. This is our timeline. The application is open now. It can be accessed on our website. And again, I'll show you a slide at the end how to access it. If you know someone who may be interested in the grant but may struggle with that October 1st deadline, please have them reach out to us. We're happy to work with people who may need additional time for the grant. We know this was It came up very fast this year, and we wanted to open it this year. And so the timeline is short when people found out about it and when the applications will close. So we are absolutely happy to talk to people if you know people who might be still interested but not able to make that October 1st deadline. Okay, projects that are eligible. I do want to stress that all the projects must meet the Secretary of Interior standards for the treatment of historic properties. We've listed a few examples here, but we definitely encourage people to apply or contact us if they have questions about what is eligible, if they're wondering if they have a project that fits in. We're happy to talk to people about that. If people need suggestions on who they might contact for projects, they should reach out to us. We don't make formal recommendations, but we do offer suggestions to get them started. If they feel like they need to do work or that they want to do a Madison landmark nomination, we can definitely offer those types of suggestions. So this is the project submittal materials, which most of this information is fairly standard. I would emphasize the last bullet point that if the applicant and property owner are different, we will require a letter of support from the property owner, just to be sure that everyone's on the same page with projects. We also made every effort to make our application as easy as possible while still collecting the information needed to evaluate the project. And the good news is with this application, a person can start the application and then you can actually save it and come back to it later. So there are pages to the application. We do have 4 pages broken down. But if you get to page 3 and you're looking at the financial information and you think, oh, you know what? I missed a couple things. I got to come back. They can. So it's a nice feature for that. I would note too that I haven't provided everything here today on our website. You can also find information about what's required for the post-project report, the terms of the grant, and the selection committee criteria that's used to evaluate and review applications. So there's definitely a lot of information on our website, in addition to the link to the application. And this is the URL, which will take you to the page on our website directly. Or if you're on madisonpreservation.org, there's a resources tab at the top, and that will take you to the preservation grant page. I mentioned a description of all this information is, as well as a link to the application, the timeline, everything's on the page. And then we are absolutely always open to questions. I'm happy to help people with the application if they have any trouble or issues come up with it. We're always available for that. So thank you so much for your time.
And Chair, if it's okay, if I interject.
Yeah.
I'm super excited about this grant opportunity. For this grant opportunity is for properties with the local historic designation. The vast majority of our properties that either are designated landmarks or are in our local historic districts are not also in National Register districts, which is where you could get either state or federal preservation tax credit. So there's no financial incentive that goes with the local historic designation. With some exceptions, the properties that are in a commercial use are eligible for the city's facade improvement grant. But again, the majority of our properties with a local historic designation are in residential use. So they're not eligible for the facade improvement grant. So this is really going to fit a need for our properties with local historic designation. And I think it's a great opportunity.
Sorry, Jennifer, go ahead.
No, I just thank you for adding that. I appreciate it.
And I was just going to echo what Heather said, which is this is a really great opportunity and will hopefully fit, does I think fit a need that the city has, particularly for these types of activities that we would like to see people preserving their houses. So yeah, this is great. And if we can get more landmark nominations, I'm always for it. So does anyone else have any questions about this or any comments for Jennifer? Seeing none, again, Jennifer, thank you so much for your time. And I look forward to seeing all the positive things that this grant's able to allow us to do.
Great. Thank you so much again.
No, thank you. Have a nice night. Okay. Moving forward on our agenda is agenda item number 3. This is Legistar File 845-44919 Spate Street, construction of an addition in the Third Lake Ridge Historic District. And I'm going to open the public hearing now, and I'm going to pass it over to Heather to walk us through this project.
Yes. Okay. Okay, up on the screen, I have a relatively recent Google Street View picture of the property in question. So for the proposed work, it's to enclose the first floor level of the 3-story rear porch and also construct a new rear yard deck. And so this is the backside of the property. So what we're talking about again is this first floor area, enclosing that so it makes it a conditioned space. So this would be new enclosed space, which is why this is then here at the Landmarks Commission. And then this area out where there's currently steps would then have a new deck. So an area for them to gather. The rear yard deck, we got additional materials right as we were posting the staff report. It is not visible from the developed public right of way, and the materials that they're proposing for the railing and the decking and the stairs all appears to meet the standards. Where we are at a point of disagreement are the windows and doors proposed for the addition. So here we have from the submittal materials for the new porch area here, there's a, partly we're talking about infilling in between the existing porch posts and leaving those there. So we'll still be able to read as a former porch location, providing some forensic details. For down below where the windows are, putting in new siding that would be comparable to the siding that is on the rest of the house, which is clapboard siding. This says a new casements over here on the sides, which are narrow. And we don't have any precedent for windows that are of this narrow configuration. So we'd have these two vertical narrow windows on either side, flanking a central fixed window, which is loosely of the size of the picture windows that we find elsewhere on the building. And then creating a new door opening with a sliding glass door. And again, there's no precedent for a sliding glass door anywhere on this building. So here we have with the details showing what the siding would look like. Here we've got a site show you where the new deck would be with the additional materials. They also provided some additional street views to show that this new deck, while it is in line with the wall plane of the house, there's both a very narrow space in between this house and its neighbor and some significant grade change. This new rear yard deck is not going to be visible from the developed public right of way. Here we go for the additional materials. We have precedent for approving similar for rear yard decks that are not visible from the developed public right of way. And here we have, again, from the plans, we have the existing appearance of the rear of the property, and then for what is proposed for the addition. So we're also seeing some panels that would be located where there's currently lattice. Oh my gosh. Lattice for underneath the porch for making this so it's, you know, again, a more weather tight situation. But the sliding glass door and the casement windows, which have a different configuration and operation from any of the historic windows that are on the existing structure. But again, this window here in the middle, you see the picture window that is there as part of the that sort of tower element here, and it's loosely of a similar size. So for the standards, we're dealing with the standards for additions in both of these instances. There's more discussion in the staff report about the standards for windows and doors, and how my interpretation is that the current choice of windows and doors do not meet the standards as specified. So for tonight, the applicant wanted to proceed with this agenda item tonight. For our purview, we are charged with making a decision tonight, unless the applicant, you have the permission from the applicant to refer this to a future meeting. So staff's recommendation is to either move to place this project on file without prejudice so they could resubmit. I think there is room for an approvable project here. We need to change up those two sets of windows and those doors, and then we would have an approvable project. Or if the applicant is amenable, you could provide direction to them on how to meet the standards, and this could be referred to likely the next meeting, or, you know, get their feedback of if they think they have enough time to come in with new window and door specs to come to the September meeting, or if they want to talk about an October meeting.
Thank you, Heather.
You're welcome.
First up on my list of registrants is Jesse Baffin. I'm so sorry. I say this as a person who has a last name that most people can't pronounce, but Fam Matter.
Yeah, Fammatter is exactly right. Thank you so much.
Sorry, just going to jump in and say you are registered in support, wishing to speak, and you are representing what I assume are the homeowners, Daniel and Dawn Hearn.
Correct. Yeah. So first off, I guess I'd like to thank staff so much for their attention and time that they gave to us in helping to put together this project. I feel like Heather represented our conversation very nicely and really, you know, kind of incorporated some of these last minute materials. So really appreciative of that. I believe that the homeowners would still like to go with the casement windows if possible. We didn't quite have time to prepare some new cut sheets for windows that would be approvable according to staff. So I don't really have anything to add. I guess I believe the homeowners are amenable to the Landmarks Commission's suggestions, though they would like the plans to proceed as is, given that the property isn't visible from the public right of way. Though it sounds like with the changes in 2022 to the ordinances, the window and door configurations, there's not to be exceptions made to those, even though the porch and the deck would not be visible from the public right of way. So I don't really have anything else to offer, but I'm here for questions. Should anybody like to ask me one?
Thank you, Jesse. Does anyone have any questions at this time?
Yeah, I do.
So
just to clarify, you are amenable to, or the homeowners would be amenable to, working with staff on acceptable window configurations and door configurations?
The homeowners are here, so I guess I'd leave it to them for final word on that. I believe, yes, they would like their project to proceed as is drawn currently as a first preference, but I'll let them speak as to their amenability to accepting different.
I guess I will jump in here and also say that they are both registered wishing to speak. So we can I'll move on in the registrant list, but we may have additional questions for you as we start discussing the project. So next up, I have a Daniel Hearn registered in support wishing to speak.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you. I'd like to echo Jesse's first comment. We appreciate everyone's time. My wife and I have lived in our historic home for 33 years and have raised four children in our home and are now absolutely thrilled to be grandparents of four little ones who all live in our neighborhood and are frequently at our home. And this is really what is driving the desire to do this addition at all. So I'd like to first address the door that we have requested in our plan. We are requesting a sliding door for a very important reason to us, and that is the safety of our grandchildren. Our oldest grandchild is a four-year-old boy who, let's say, is very, very high energy. And we are fearful that with his energy and enthusiasm, he will fling our door open onto our other smaller grandchildren who would be crawling around the room. So we completely understand that this sliding door is not consistent with the historical integrity of the property, but we are very concerned about the safety, and we just believe it is a much better solution to be protecting our grandchildren. I think if any of you looked into our stewardship of this historical property, you would see that we are very committed to that, have maintained our property, and are not trying to do anything that's out of bounds. We feel that this is a pretty small ask given what we are trying to accomplish. So we ask you to consider that in our project and the approval of the project. That's very important to us, and we hope you understand why. Secondly, to address the windows that we have selected, to be perfectly candid, and I don't understand all the ins and outs of the historic preservation requirements and codes and so forth, but to be honest, I've struggled to understand for a property, this is the backside of a private residence that no one can see other than the owners of the property. So I just simply don't understand why our desired windows should be an issue when absolutely no one can see them from the public right of way, nor the backside of the house from the lake. We are trying to maximize our view because our family is over in our house all the time. And we are simply trying to keep our grandchildren safe and maximize our enjoyment of a private residence while respecting the historical integrity of the property, which I believe we have done a phenomenal job at. So we're not trying to be difficult. We are not trying to be combative. We respect what you're trying to accomplish, but we don't believe that what we are asking for is unreasonable. Will we be willing to consider different windows? Yes, we would. We're not going to fall on the sword for the windows as long as we are able to maximize the view as we are trying to do. And secondly, that it doesn't require us to spend a significant amount of additional money simply to have a custom window or whatever might be required to satisfy the codes. Any questions for me from anybody?
Does anyone have any questions for the property owner at this time? Thank you, Daniel. Doesn't look like we have any questions for you.
Thank you.
I will move on in my registrant list to Robert Bell, registered to speak, or registered in support wishing to speak. I think you're here as Bob Bell.
Yes, hi.
Hello. Go ahead.
I am the architect for the project. And I have a architectural business that is in the Chicago area in Oak Park, as well as in Madison here. And our house is across the street from the Hearns house. It's 912 Spate Street. That's one reason we know the Hearns. And I was the first chairman in Oak Park, Illinois, of the Landmarks Commission there. And I've since 1974, I have been involved in lots of preservation and adaptive use projects and worked on the Frank Lloyd Wright Home and Studio and the Unity Temple. I am, you know, I'm totally into preservation and adaptive use projects, and you know, I do feel that in this case we wanted a design that kept a little of the feeling of that open porch, which I don't think probably was part of the original construction of the house. We can't say yes or no, but when we chose the windows, we want to preserve the view of, which is a terrific view of the lake. And so the other thing that I had in my mind was we build an addition to our house here at 912 Spate Street, and it has casement windows. Our back door is a sliding door. It works so beautifully, and I think you have pictures of that house as part of the submitted material. The letter to the commission had photographs. There's another building which I think is magnificent at the corner of Rutledge, across from Orton Park. It's, you know, and it has lots of glass on the back where the building was. There's the addition to the back of the building, which you can actually see from the side street that leads down to the lake. But it's great. You know, it's okay. It's okay to have an addition that is compatible, but also, you know, is more modern. Yeah, it's okay. It's like, I just feel that we've done a really good design, and I'd hate to see double hung windows substituted for the casement windows or French doors that would open on into the room and take up space and wouldn't give them the benefits that are part of what we enjoy here at 912 Spate Street, a back door that slides and it works perfect. And so I hope you don't make them change the windows. I think it's just perfect the way it is.
Thank you. I do have a question of clarification for how you filled out this registrant report, which is you are one of the architects who's working on this project?
I am the architect.
Okay, so you are getting paid to represent the Hearns.
Well, they paid me a fee to do the design. I'm part of the meeting because I want to support the Hearns. I'm not a lobbyist, if that's what you're driving at.
Yeah, I'm just pointing out that you said that you are not paid. So just clarifying that for the record. Does anyone have any questions for Bob? Seeing none, I'm going to move on to our final registrant, Dawn Hearn, registered in support. She's available to answer questions. I guess, Dawn, if you have, if you want to answer any questions that have come up, otherwise we will move on to the discussion portion of our, of this project. I guess, Dawn, since I'm not seeing you indicate that you would like to answer any questions, we'll move on to the discussion, or I'm looking for a motion. All right, just scrolling through my list to see if anybody has anything. Maurice. Oh. Maurice, it looked like you raised your hand. Did you?
I'm sorry. This was a question. Is one side of State Street that Mr. Bell discussed, is that side not a landmark property? Or just wanted to tell him to clarify that. I thought he said that he had maybe had a sliding door on his side of the street door.
Sure. And there's a discussion about that in the staff report, because that was one of the comparables that they included as part of their submittal materials. That project was, I think, 2003. And so it was under the old ordinance. And the old ordinance for Third Lake Ridge was heavily focused on just the street facade. So what was the front of the building? And then it was very loosey-goosey on what was happening on the sides and certainly the back. So that's the way that district operated up until we updated the ordinance in 2022, where there were standards. Then there's certainly a strong emphasis on what is the front of a building, but then there are now design standards that encompass the entirety of the building. There is a lot more latitude for what takes place on the back of a building, but we're still dealing with the historic precedent and character of this particular building. So the work that happened in 2003 was an entirely different ordinance. They also cite a project that was approved several months before the new ordinance. So again, totally different set of standards. The one project that they cited over on Rutledge, 1121 Rutledge, that was work that was done under the current ordinance, but that was modifications to circa 1950s additions. And so it already had these types of windows and doors on the later period addition. So the modifications that were made to that part of that building were in keeping with the character of that building. So this particular building doesn't have that type of historic precedent. So what we have is we're enclosing this historic porch area, but doing it in a way that would look very post-World War II modifications on a building, as opposed to the standards talk about having windows and doors that have a, well, similar rhythm, similar size, and similar operation to the historic. And the narrow casements and the sliding glass door is not something that you would, well, that we currently see on the building that we're looking at, and isn't in keeping with the architectural character of this building as we have it. 1121 Rutledge had a different history. It had different additions over time. And this particular building doesn't have that same character. So we're doing authentic history of this particular building.
Mm-hmm. Any questions or?
No. Well, this seems pretty black and white to me. I don't know how we could find otherwise. I'm sympathetic to the property owners, understanding that you can't really see this area, but I think a precedent to allow casement windows in this historic district would be a bad idea, completely out of place. So I would move to refer this to a future meeting and have the applicant work with staff on approving new windows and doors.
Thank you, Rich. Is there a second?
Can I be unmuted for a comment?
I would like to say this should only proceed if we have the approval of the applicant. Otherwise, we have to make a decision.
Yes. So thank you. Assuming that the applicant is okay with this.
Is my mic on?
Yes.
Okay. I'm not okay with this. And here is my perspective. What you're telling me is that you're okay risking my grandchildren's safety by requiring me to put a swing-in door in the addition rather than the sliding door that's been designed in because of a historic code for an area of a private home that cannot be seen by anyone from a public right-of-way.
Can I ask,
is that what you're saying?
Grandchildren been hit with a door previously? Is this something that has happened before?
We've had close calls, and it scared the heck out of us, which is why we want a sliding door. I just want to hear yes or no. Are you saying that this historic code should trump our concerns about safety for our grandchildren?
I guess I will also suggest working with your architect to determine if there are other ways to put a back door in here that does not swing into your new living space. There are other options other than sliding doors in order to not have a door slide into your room, inside the room. And
I don't find that a compelling argument. I mean, swing doors have been in existence for hundreds of years. We don't, you know, our purview is not to debate building code issues. Certainly swing doors are perfectly appropriate and acceptable with building codes. I don't find that safety as a compelling argument. So I guess we need to, I made a motion. We need to understand if you're willing to work with staff to find an acceptable solution that we can take a look at in a future meeting. Or if not, then we have to make a different motion to place the project on file, or perhaps someone will make a motion to approve it as is.
Applicants, I guess I would ask at this time, would you prefer that we move to place this on file without prejudice, or to refer this to a future meeting?
I would just like to clarify, I'm sorry, we just don't quite understand the difference between placing something on file without prejudice versus approving it to another meeting. Just for clarity's sake, in layman's speak, I think the homeowners have the choice of deciding whether to work with staff to find changes or whether or not they're suggesting that they're not going to work with staff. And I don't know which outcome leads to the appropriate path in terms of the Landmarks Commission speak. So if we could just get a little bit of clarification, I think that would be helpful.
Chair, if it's okay, I could talk through the implications of those two different motions.
Yeah.
So if Landmarks Commission finds that this does not meet the standards of approval, they could vote for just a denial, In which case it would kick in a time period for you to, you would have to come in with a substantially different project. Or if they place it on file without prejudice, that is in effect a denial, but that means this application as proposed, it has its final conclusion in that Landmarks Commission is placing it on file. But being placed on file without prejudice means that you could do a new application and that time period, cooling off time period wouldn't come into play. So you would still need to come in and do a new application. At this point, that would be an application for you to come in for the October 7th Landmarks Commission meeting in order for us to do a public hearing notice, because it would be a new application with new materials. So that's how that process would go. If you agree to have this referred to the next meeting, to the September 9th meeting, then you can make modifications and this current application remains active. And with modifications to the windows and doors, then at the September meeting, you could get your approval.
So I guess essentially it's by placing it on file without prejudice, you the process stops and you have to start all over again. Or by referring it to a future meeting, it allows you to continue working with staff, working with your architect, and coming back to this project with new designs.
Thank you for the clarification. I guess I would let Daniel or Don weigh in on their preference. And if they choose not to answer, then I guess I can make a selection for them.
Mr. or Mrs. Hearn, do you have a preference?
Daniel, are you not answering or?
Maurice.
Well, so Kitty, Rich's motion that's on the table right now needs to be approved by the applicant.
So where we are right now is Rich has placed a motion in which he referred this to a future meeting. We're making sure that the applicants are interested in referring this to another meeting, or if they would wish us to instead place this on file without precedence. And again, the difference between those is if we refer this to a future meeting, and I would assume that we would not refer this to a specific meeting, they could come back at any time while working with their architect, while continuing to work with Heather and staff on updates to their design. However, if we place it on file without prejudice, it means they have to start the process over again, so reapply. So,
Katie, can I ask this then?
Yeah.
So, and then Mr. Hearn made it clear that he wanted a decision for tonight, right? So, should we?
No, we don't. We don't have that answer yet, Maurice.
Oh, okay. I thought he said he.
I don't, well, did I miss it? Because I haven't heard from the owners as to whether my motion is acceptable or not.
Okay. Sorry, Rich.
They have not clarified at this time.
I mean, we could just vote on it. And if they don't want to work with staff, we can.
Yeah, I guess that's part
deny
of
it.
If we refer to it and they never come back, is it just.
Die a slow death?
So Katie.
Well, sorry. Oh. I will note Mr. Hearn has unmuted himself, so I don't know if he is jumping in to answer our question.
I will answer that question again. I thought I made myself clear. We will accept the motion that Richard has put forth, but I wanted to be very clear, and I hope you've all heard this. I'm shocked and dismayed at your disregard for the safety of my grandchildren over a very small request. I think that's absolutely deplorable and irresponsible.
Thank you, Mr. Hearn. We appreciate your response. Maurice, are you seconding or do you have a question?
Well, I had a question because I thought that, okay, so for in interest of time and respect for Mr. Hearn, should we make a motion to see if the project could get approved as is?
So
if we got a
in a moment. First, we need to see if there is a second for Rich's motion.
Okay.
And Chair, if I could further complicate this,
yeah,
we would need to make a motion for this to a date specific. In order for us not to have to do another round of public notification. So if the applicant thinks that they can get updated materials for the September 9th meeting, if I have something by September 3rd, I'll have time to do a staff report. It does seem pretty aggressive. We've been talking with them for a couple of weeks now. If they don't think that they can do that, then it could be a date unspecified, at which point then we would do new postcards and newspaper notification for the October.
But if we specify a date that's the next one, or is it have to, is that possible?
Whatever dates that they feel they can make, then yes, we could. It would, a date specified means that
when's
we don't
the next
have
meeting?
To, you know, the next meeting is September 9th. Once we get
into
September.
The next one after that.
The next one, we are at the point of one meeting a month for the rest of the year. So the next meeting after that is October 7th.
Perhaps we could hear from the applicants or the contractor or the architect, which of those two dates would be more preferable?
I am happy to meet requirements for producing new materials by the September meeting. I'm happy to meet that deadline.
Okay, so I'll change my motion to refer to the September 9th meeting.
Thank you, Rich. Is there a motion? Is there a second? Thank you. I'm seeing a second from Edna. Thank you very much. I'm going to assume unanimous consent unless I see otherwise by hands, and then I'll do a roll call vote. Anyone objecting to this? Seeing none, thank you all, and we look forward to seeing you at our September meeting. Moving forward, regular business, buildings proposed for demolition. Heather, am I giving this to you? I don't see Mary Rose on.
You are. Mary Rose is off tonight.
Okay.
Which that makes a nice sort of handoff because she had to cover me while I was stranded due to the hurricane.
In beautiful Miami, so.
Yeah, well, I was in West Palm Beach, actually, which for anybody else would have been amazing. I don't like heat and humidity, so I was not a fan. So, demolition report. I have grouped all these in a slightly different order from what is in the staff report. What you'll see for the staff report is primarily we have a finding of no known historic value with one modification, and that one I put at the very end. So here's our slate of buildings. We have at 810 West Badger Road, commercial building constructed in 1970, no preservation file, no site file, and staff recommends finding of no known historic value. 818 West Badger, commercial building constructed in 1955, and while I do love a late modern office building, this one does have some challenges with historic integrity with the panels in between the windows and the fascia. Looks like it's not original, but it's not architecturally significant in and of itself and no known historic association. So recommend a finding of no known historic value. 814 North Avenue, commercial building constructed in 1940. No preservation file or WHS site file. I will say, while there's a 1940 building in there, it looks like there have been some changes over time. Staff recommends a finding of no known historic value. This little building that's also on this sort of larger property, 826 North Avenue, commercial building of unknown date of construction. We don't know when this thing happened. Finding of no known historic value. Shifting over 1901 South Park Street. So that's the base address for this property, but there's multiple addresses as this is a strip mall. So includes, and I've got the whole list of all the properties that face out on Park, but then Beld comes up behind. So also 1904 Beld. So this overall building was constructed in 1958, but no preservation file, no state site file. So recommend a finding of no known historic value. 504 East Lakeview Avenue, single family home constructed in 1925. It looks like it's had some changes over time. At some point, it looks like somebody put in permastone on kind of everything. No preservation file, no WHS site file, finding of no known historic value. Finally, though, heading back to South Park Street, 1810 South Park Street, commercial building constructed in 1951 with additions in 57, 59, and 64. With the aerial view, you can see, and then from this Google Street View, come around to the side. So there are technically two Quonsets also on this property. So there's this triple Quonset, which it kind of dips in between. And so I don't have the aerial image really zoomed in, but do a Google Street View and you can see where it kind of dips. So this is a triple Quonset. There aren't a lot of those. This looks like it's very likely World War II salvage. But then at some point they put a single Quonset in front. And so that's also just kind of like parked there. So overall though, while I really love Quonsets, particularly the triple Quonsets are a rare resource, there really is a finding of no known historic value, but I wanted to put in the recommendation that the city, because the city is the one doing these demos, well, for most of them, except for the house, but recommend exploring relocation or salvage of the Quonsets, particularly the triple Quonset, because there just weren't a lot of those. So other than that little note, here's our standard findings for buildings proposed for demolition.
Do we have a motion?
I can move for A.
Thank you. Do you, and include Heather's note about the Quonset hut on the last one?
Yes.
Thank you, Edna. Second.
A second.
Thank you, Rich. I'm going to assume unanimous consent here. And then I will look for a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Thank you. Do I have a second? Thank you, Maurice. I will see you all in a couple of weeks. Have a great end of summer.
Thank you, everyone, for your time today.
Thank you. Thanks. Thank you.
Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.